Woohoo!
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
get up, Grace. Oh, yeah, born ready, die.
We'll keep it going. I want to tell you, I'm trying to get, like, stand up and get crunk. We're good. What's going on? You all right? We'll keep it going. Today is, of course,
DJ doesn't know what he wants to play.
I'll think about that, you know, but we're good. Here we go. Let's have some fun with this one. Here we go. Let's have some fun. Here it is. Today, there we go. This for you, Rob. Enjoy that.
Oh.
For the Who That Nation, baby.
Oh. Okay.
Y'all know how we do it.
Okay.
Oh. Everybody be standing up in front.
Hey, I'm trying to get crunk.
With a 12 man,
that gets you fired up as a football right there, man. We just got to wait about 6 more months.
Yeah, I know, man. It's like kind of going back and forth. Today is Tuesday, March the 5th, and you are talking sports with the 12 man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Mr. Robert Ford, and we always have a great topics, great nice thing to talk about. You know, that's what it's all about. And without further ado, I was going to check in with my co-host and see how you are doing this evening. So, Rob, how are you doing, sir?
Doing great, man. You know, I got a great workout in. You know, I always got to talk about what I've done. Got a pretty good dinner in, some crab cakes, some broccoli, some rosemary, garlic potatoes. Everybody out there, y'all know I'm a foodie, so I got to talk a little bit about food. But other than that, everything's going well. And to our listeners out there, my partner here is a little bit under the weather, so bear with him tonight a little bit. I might have to do a lot of talking, but you know, y'all know I'm pretty good at that.
I appreciate that, sir. Well, like I said, for those who want to call the show, we're going to throw out a couple numbers for you guys. The number to call the show is actually 424-243-9519. We're also on Facebook. You got us at facebook.com/12mansports, as well as we're on Twitter at the number 12thmansports as well. So, yeah, a lot of ways to get in contact with us. Definitely love to hear your feedback, your make sure that we're talking about good topics and interacting with you guys, all that fun stuff. So without further ado, we were talking some football, and we're going to jump right into it, Rob. And if you're a Denver Bronco fan, I'm pretty sure, I don't know if you're excited about this or you're a little nervous or what, but Mr. Von Miller actually guaranteed the Broncos will win the Super Bowl, the 2014 Super Bowl. And I guess we'll still have some thoughts about this, Rob. I mean, is he crazy or is he just confident? What's going on with Mr. Von Miller?
Oh, I think he's both. I think he's crazy and he's confident. And, you know, I think you can't play professional sports without believing you can win. But obviously very few teams would, predicting themselves to win a championship actually happen, especially in football. And so I think going into the playoffs this past season, Denver Broncos looked like the best team in the NFL. Now, obviously, you're looking at the playoffs this year. They came the closest to beating the Baltimore Ravens, the eventual Super Bowl champions. And you can easily, a few mistakes here and there, Denver Broncos could have really won that football game. And so this is a team that going into next year is definitely going to be one of the favorites. But it'll be hard for me to pick them now that they have somebody on their team that's actually predicting them to win the Super Bowl. Teams are just going to be gunning for you when you make those kind of predictions. And so I think it's great to have the confidence, but you want to have a quiet confidence. Keep those kind of predictions inside of your locker room. Don't bring it out to the media. Now everybody's going to be gunning, for them. And of course, words don't win or lose Super Bowls. But I just think, you know, once guys open their mouth like this, you know, you're destined to fail.
You know, I think Von Miller can kind of talk to the Carolina Panthers about that, what happened with making predictions about going to the Super Bowl, too. So, I don't know if that actually turned out well for the Panthers either. So you got to be careful, like you said, about making certain predictions. And like you said, you love the confidence, But, you know, keep it in the locker room because eventually you're going to become a side note. So now everyone's going to be like, hey, Von, you know, you said you were going to win the Super Bowl. So unless you want that target on your back, you know, I guess it is what it is. So we'll see. Love it, love it, love it. This is another interesting story, Rob, about the Jets. And I don't know if this guy is just kind of throwing out different signals because he's trying to get the value. But, you know, the Jets GM said that Tim Tebow was still a candidate for their starting quarterback position. I don't think that he's telling the truth at all. What do you think about this statement?
I don't think he's telling the truth at all. This is all the way some smokescreen. I don't know if he's trying to increase the value for a trade for Tim Tebow. And I just think the market for a trade for Tebow is quiet. I mean, it's like you can hear a pin drop in the room when you're talking about Tim Tebow as far as the trade is concerned. And I just think the market for him has dried up, and I think he's trying to build up a market for him. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, will the Jets keep him on their roster or will they release him? And if they decide to keep him, of course they have to say he's going to compete for a starting job. I mean, Mark Sanchez was horrible this past season, even though I think a lot of it had to do with the coaching and the Tebow distraction as well. And so I just don't see – I can't see this organization bringing Tebow into training camp. I really can't. They're either going to try to see what they can get for him in the trade or it's going to be a release. I just don't think they can have him to come in. And if they are going to give, you know, Mark Sanchez another shot at this job, I don't know how many of you all have reviewed my post-combine first-round mock draft. But in that mock draft, I have the Jets actually taking Matt Barkley, quarterback, another USC guy. And so I'm almost thinking that this team is ready to find a quarterback for the future and give up on both Sanchez and Tebow.
It's interesting, too. Word on the street is that the Jets are actually looking at the signing former Jacksonville and Miami
David Gerrard,
quarterback,
yeah.
David Gerrard, yeah. So it's kind of interesting, too. You got to wonder – you're kind of scratching your head like, okay, well, if they said that Tim Tebow is the guy, then why are they going to bring in a – you know, everyone pretty much knows that the Jets are kind of imploding a little bit too. So I don't know. We'll have to keep an eye on that situation. If he was, I mean, do you think – I know Tim Tebow is always a lightning rod, but where do you think he would actually turn out to be, or is there even somebody that's even going to interested in Tebow, you think, or is he going in the Canadian Football League like you always say?
Well, I think that's where he needs to go. I think he needs to go to Canada. And I just don't see a team where he can be a fit. You know, one thing, a team that you can think about possibly is the 49ers. They're trading Alex Smith. And you're running a little bit of that read option offense already with Colin Kaepernick. Maybe he can go there and be a backup. You know, so that's one option. You can look at, you know, teams talked about Jacksonville, but the new general manager in Jacksonville is all but about to root that out. You know, Tebow is not going to Jacksonville. And I just don't see it. I mean, you can think about a team like San Francisco. You can think about a team like Seattle. They run a read option offense where they can go be a backup. Seattle may try to trade Mac Flynn, so you might need a backup there. And so it should be interesting. I just don't think teams in the NFL are interested in him being a distraction in their locker room. And I just think, you know, eventually he's probably going to wind up playing somewhere like in Canada.
Yeah, I agree with you for sure. We'll see how that actual situation plays out because sometimes it's one of those situations, be careful what you wish for because you just might get it. I know the Jets are definitely looking for that, you know, that pizzazz or something to kind of make everyone talk about them. But this may have actually backfired on them, so we'll see the next couple of steps for them. We are moving right along on this Tuesday night of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're going to keep it going, sir. And another interesting scenario is that the Patriots, and you know, they've been in the news a lot with Mr. Tom Brady, his contract, all that jazz. But also, word on the street is that they're actually looking for Danny Amendola to replace Wes Welker. This is a very, very interesting move. This just happened actually today, Rob, so I don't know if you want to kind of expound on this. Do you think this is a good move, and why do you think the Patriots are making this move as opposed to setting and trying to pay Mr. Wes Welker?
Well, let's be clear on this a little bit. The Patriots' still first choice is to bring back Wes Welker, but Danny Amendola is an immediate backup plan for them in the event they can't work out the contract that they will like with Wes Welker. But Wes Welker is still their guy. He's the guy that they want. They didn't franchise him. They didn't believe he was worthy of being franchised. But if they can agree to a deal with him that they like, he's still their number one option over Danny Amendola. But they like Amendola, and they feel like he can do some of the same things that Welker can do. And so if they can't work out an agreement with Welker, they feel like they can immediately sign Danny Amendola at a little bit more reasonable contract compared to what they would have to sign Wes Welker for. So the Patriots have a backup plan based on the sources that we have here, and it looks like that he would be the backup plan in the event that they can't sign Wes Welker. And my only concern with a guy like Amendola, he's a guy that has not been able to stay healthy. Pretty good player when he plays, but he doesn't have the durability that a Wes Welker has. So, I mean, just on the surface, it looks like that would be somewhat of a downgrade to me.
Yeah, it always seems like the Patriots always are, you know, certain teams are out, they're always like a step ahead, excuse me. So they want to, you know, just in case certain things don't happen, they're kind of putting out some things. So, you know, you got to definitely applaud that. But, you know, a very excellent job of explaining the situation. And we'll see actually what plays out in that scenario, too, because I agree with you. I think they'd rather have Wes Welker. And but, you know, like I said, just in case something happens, you have to, you know, kind of have a contingency plan, too. So, good deal.
Absolutely.
Let's keep it going here. And I guess we're talking about the Patriots and obviously a lot of news about some quarterbacks making a lot of dough. You know, Tom Brady kind of gets a new deal. That's really cap-friendly. We can talk about that, too. But I also want to talk about, if you've been under a rock, you know, Joe Flacco is actually the highest-paid quarterback in the league right now. You know, is this kind of interesting because, you know, is it well-deserved is one thing. And because obviously there's a lot of better quarterbacks. But, you know, I'm not mad at the guy, obviously. But, yeah, it's interesting. He's getting paid, man. So who do you think should be the highest-paid quarterback? And, you know, we'd love to hear your thoughts as well out there in radio land, too. So I'm turning it over to you, Rob.
Well, I'm going to say Tom Brady, and I'm just going to say that I think he still deserves to be the highest paid. And he's the guy that's still putting up elite numbers, and he's the guy that's won out of all the current quarterbacks in the NFL. He's still won the most Super Bowls. So I'm going to still say Tom Brady should be the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League. I understand what the Ravens and Joe Flacco did because that's just the way today's market price is for a quarterback, you know, of his stature, winning a Super Bowl. You know, not quite a top five QB yet in the league, but, you know, that's just the price for a quarterback in the NFL, in today's NFL. I mean, they're just going to get paid. That's just the bottom line. But I think if we have to say who deserves to be the highest paid, just in my personal opinion, I still would put Tom Brady in that category.
Yeah, it's interesting because you look at Joe Flacco, and it's like you said, you said he's not in the top five quarterbacks, correct? Is that what you were saying? I mean, so how is he able to get this much money out of?
Well, he just won the Super Bowl. I mean, he's probably just right beneath that top five. I just think right now his timing. Next year, whoever the big quarterback that's going to be a free agent, he's probably going to surpass this contract. So it's all about timing. If you got a top five or top ten quarterback in the league, if one of those guys become a free agent next winter, one of those, whoever that guy may be, is going to surpass this contract. That's just how the nature of the beast works. And every year we saw Drew Brees last summer get the big deal. And he surpassed whoever the, you know, highest paid was. And now this year is Joe Flacco. Next year is going to be somebody else.
Yeah, we'll keep it going. It's going to be interesting, too, definitely. I know here in Atlanta, the Falcons fans are a little worried because we don't want to sign off Matt Ryan and get that big contract until he actually wins something. So, you know, that's kind of what the situation, too, whenever you watch a team and what the Ravens did, you're like, uh-oh, you're starting to feel nervous about your current situation, too. So, you know, obviously, we'll keep tabs on the death of the scenarios. And we're going to talk about some players making moves, and I definitely want to jump into your mock draft as well. We're moving right along, too, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about you made an interesting comment about Matt Flynn, and we'll see if he's going anywhere as well. But I'm going to throw out the numbers real quick, Rob, and we'll talk about your post-mock draft, if you will, or post-combine mock draft, excuse me. So once again, the numbers to call the show, it's actually 424 243-9519. And don't forget to follow us. Hit us up via Twitter, at the number 12, THMAN Sports, as well as Facebook. We're on Facebook, obviously, slash Talking Sports with 12 Man, all that good stuff. All right, let's jump into this. Your third round mock draft, Rob, you did a fantastic job of filling out some things, jumping into your mock draft. I think you've actually posted it on our page. Is that correct, sir?
Yes. All three rounds of my post-combine mock draft is on the Talking Sports Facebook page. So for those of you all who haven't seen it, please go back and review it. And, you know, or if you would like for us to send it to you, you know, hit us up on Twitter or Facebook. Once again, Andre, if you want to give the Twitter and Facebook information, and we can send you our mock draft.
For Facebook, it's facebook.com/12thmansports, as well as Twitter, once again, at the number 12, then THMAN Sports as well. So there's a lot of ways how you can get that. But this is great, Rob. Is there anything that you want to highlight whenever you're talking about this, or anything you wanted to actually point out as far as your mocks here?
Well, are you talking about first round or second, third round, or
just any round you wanted to talk about? Because obviously, if you're a fan of your team, I don't know, like, if you're something that you wanted to kind of, anything that you thought was pretty interesting to post, because obviously there's been a lot of movement after the combine. You know, obviously with a lot of Georgia players that are supposed to drop in, the drop of Teo. I mean, there's a lot of things that have been going on. So I don't know if there's anything you wanted to highlight that you thought were pretty neat.
Yeah, I'll go over a few highlights here real quick. And for those of you all listening, may want to call in and ask about your particular teams and what I had them doing in the draft. Once again, our number is 424-243-9519. We would love to hear from you all. I'm going to start off with the Chiefs here. As you know, they're going to be getting Alex Smith here officially here on March 12th. And my past mock drafts had the Chiefs taking Geno Smith, so that's an obvious change. And now I have them taking Luke Joeckel with the number one pick in the draft, who is arguably the best player in this draft, who can immediately give the Chiefs two great bookends. The Chiefs also franchise Brandon Elbert, their offensive tackle. So they will have two great offensive tackles on this line. There's a lot of talent on this Chiefs football team. If Andy Reid can kind of get them to get some good quarterback play and mesh, this is a team I think can be a contender pretty quickly. And I have them going to Luke Joeckel route with the first pick. I now have Geno Smith going number 7 to Arizona. And there's a lot of debate in the Arizona war room. Do we want Geno Smith or Matt Barkley? But based on the sources that we have, I think it's all but sure that Arizona will take quarterback with that number 7 pick. It's just a matter of will it be Geno Smith or Matt Barkley. Right now I have it being Geno Smith, just because Bruce Arians is the guy who loves the long ball, and there's not a better long ball thrower in this draft than Geno Smith. And that's the reason why I have them going Geno Smith, even though there's some people out there believe that Arizona is leaning toward Barkley. But right now I'm going to stick with Geno Smith, just because, like I said, Bruce Arians, their new head coach, is a huge advocate, you know, of throwing a ball down the field. And nobody throws it better and accurately in this draft than Geno Smith.
And, I got a question for you. Oh, go ahead. No, yeah. Keep going. I was going to ask you a question.
No, you go ahead. I need some questions.
I was curious because, and this is very similar to the Chiefs, because if you're the Chiefs, you made the trade for Alex Smith. And like you said, this is not a bad team. I mean, unless you're in Kansas City, you might think differently. But it is interesting because they have some pieces around them, and definitely quarterback play was probably one of the biggest question marks. Why do you think they chose Alex Smith over, say, a Matt Flynn, you know, just another quarterback? You know, obviously they don't want to go young with the draft, which is what Andy Reid's making this move, thinking they're going to win now. And also, do you think they're going to draft a quarterback later on in this draft as well?
Well, I when you look at Alex Smith versus Matt Flynn, I think the difference between the two players is experience. When you look at Alex Smith, he started a lot of ball games and he's won a lot of ball games. Well, Matt Flynn, I still believe he has the potential to be a starting quarterback in this league, but he hasn't proven it over the long haul. Alex Smith led the 49ers to the NFC Championship game last year. And even this year, prior to getting hurt, he had the 49ers with a great record. It looked like they were well on their way to still being a number 2 or number 3 seed here in the NFC, even if he would have stayed the quarterback. So, and you look at him, he's got some pretty good accuracy, he's mobile, kind of things that Alex Reed looked for. Andy Reed. Let me make that correction. The kind of things that he looked for. Does he have the capability of being as good as Donovan McNabb was in his prime? I don't believe that. But I think he can be a solid quarterback that can help them win some games. And I think, you know, the Chiefs, if everything goes well for them, I can see this team going 9-7, 10-6 their first year under Andy Reid.
Wow, that's a pretty bold prediction, Rob. I like it. If you're a Chiefs fan, obviously, you're kind of sitting on your hands and knees as far as that, because Andy Reid does have a pretty good reputation. But like you said, we'll see how everything plays out. We're about 9 minutes into the show. We're moving right along. I'm going to throw out the numbers once again. If you want to call on the show, tell us what you think about your team. The number to call, it is 424-243-9519, as well as you've got our Facebook and Twitter information. We're going to keep moving. I'm a Falcon fan, Rob. Surprise, surprise. And I was looking at the mock draft. He had us selecting two tight ends. War on the street here in Atlanta. Tony Gonzalez is about 90-10 coming back. I thought it was curious you had us selecting two tight ends in the draft. And also I'm going to ask you about another guy that's pretty high on the radar. And this is something that we've heard through the grapevine here in Atlanta, and that Deion Sanders personally told the Falcons that they should draft the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. So tell us about that. What do you think he's going to fall? What do you think his prospects are in the NFL? That's kind of a two-part question, sir.
Okay, I'll start off with the tight end situation in Atlanta. And just keep in mind to our listeners out there, my mock draft currently is based on the now, not based on the future. So a lot of things are going to change with teams and free agency and things of that nature, trades. And so you'll be seeing some mock draft changes, you know, coming up here based on those things as well. So, you know, right now for the Falcons, the way it kind of looks, you know, I don't know if a lot of you all recall New England Patriots drafting two tight ends in the same draft a few years back to get Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. Sometimes when you have a need, you're going to draft two players and hopefully hit on one of them. In the Patriots' case, it turns out that they hit on both of those players, turned out to be pretty good. And so if you're the Falcons, the tight end position, whether it be this year, if Gonzalez does, in fact, retire, or whether it be next year, tight end is still going to be a need. Obviously, if Gonzalez come back, I can't see them taking two tight ends in this draft. But right, based on right now, we don't have any information for sure if he's coming back. But I can still see this team drafting at least one tight end, even if Gonzalez come back, because you have to prepare for when he does retire. And so you can possibly see that. But right now this draft is based on the now and not based on what's going to happen here in the future. And let's keep in mind, no draft analyst mock drafts are going to be completely right. This is basically just for fun and try to give as much, you know, analysis as we can in the situation here. But there's going to be a lot of changes still between today's date, March 5th, and the end of April when draft time rolls around. So it should be interesting. And getting back to the next question, the Honey Badger. You know, right now, I still have the Honey Badger as a fourth-round grade. I haven't released my fourth-round mock draft, but right now I have the Honey Badger going 109 to Tampa Bay in the fourth round, which Tampa Bay is in desperate need of corners and pass rush. They were 32nd in the NFL in pass defense this past season, the Tampa Bay Bucks. So there's definitely an area where they're going to have to improve, is getting some corners, some safeties, and getting some pass rush to improve their pass defense. But I can definitely see a team reaching for them in the third round. You know, whether the Falcons do that or not, we'll have to wait and see. But I can definitely see a team reaching for him in the third. Right now, I have him going in the fourth. I can't see him going any higher than the third round, though.
Let's talk about your Saints. It seems like you've got them picking a lot of defensive players. So is that what you think they're focusing on? Obviously, they're making a switch to the 3-4, and you've got them taking Tank Carradine, the outside linebacker slash hybrid defensive end from Florida State. You got them taking a quarterback as well. What do you think about the Saints? And I'm sure you got some love here, so that's what it's all about.
Well, yeah, obviously. And like I said, you know, we're basing this on now, and the Saints obviously desperately need some defensive help for Rob Ryan's 3-4 defense that he's going to be incorporating this year. And obviously, one of the Saints' problems last year as well as Tampa Bay's was defending the pass. And pass rush is a big concern. And we're going to need some edge rushers in that 3-4. You have a couple of candidates in-house right now, Martez Wilson and Junior Gallette, but you're going to need more. And Tank Carradine is a guy that prior to getting injured in November was considered a number one defensive end outside linebacker prospect in this draft. And now, you know, he wasn't able to work out at the combine, but word on the street is he's looking explosive in some of his private workouts, and he's going to shine in his pro day and get back into the first round. So right now, some people still have him in the second. I have him based on the information that we're receiving that he's shining and look like he is going to get into the first round. And right now, I have him going to the Saints at 15. And obviously in the third round, the Saints are going to need some depth at cornerback. They released Johnny Patrick not too long ago here. I have taken Darius Slay, cornerback from Mississippi State. And like I said, my fourth round draft has not been released, but I do have the Saints taking Everett Dawkins, the defensive tackle from Florida State. So this team's going to need some defensive personnel. More than likely, they're going to let Cedric Ellis walk. And, you know, so you're going to need some defensive depth on this roster.
Gotcha. Speaking of explosive, let's talk about, I don't know if you heard his name, Terrell Stinkfield mean anything to you. I don't know if you heard about that. This is a guy, I don't know if you hear about this guy, Rob.
Give me some information on him.
Supposedly he ran a 4.19 40-yard dash. He's from Northern Iowa. So they're still kind of making sure this is good, I mean, right now. But, you know, he had to run it a couple times. But that's what they're talking about right there. So, you know, he had some blazing speed, you know, so we'll see if that's that's kind of word on the street about that, too, is on ESPN. That's what they're talking about.
Exactly. Well, it's going to be interesting. Right now, like I said, I can't see him getting into the top four rounds of this draft just yet. But you obviously see some teams that are going to be lining up to take a shot at him.
With the Oakland Raiders, the third pick they select now.
Well, if Al Davis was still around, you better believe that they probably would take him.
Who is this guy? He ran a 4.19. Doesn't matter. Wow. Well, we're having some fun here as always. The show is wrapping up, Rob. Once again, we always have a great time. But we've got about 2.5 minutes here, as always. So we want to thank everyone for listening. I know last week was kind of a lot of challenges, but we made it through this week. So we're getting ready to set the stage for next week. Let's talk about we got about 2 minutes left. I want to kind of set the stage, and we're going to talk about some college basketball, some big upsets, and also we're going to kind of wrap up the franchise players as well. So there's a couple players that are franchised. I don't know if you even talk about that real quick before we get ready to jump into the OT portion of the show.
Well, yeah, there's 8 players in the league that has been franchised. Randy Starks, defensive tackle from the Miami Dolphins. Henry Melton, defensive tackle for Chicago Bears. Pat McAfee, punter for the Indianapolis Colts. Ryan Clady, offensive tackle, Denver Broncos. Michael Johnson, defensive end, Cincinnati Bengals. Jarius Byrd, defensive back from the Buffalo Bills. Brandon Albert, who we briefly mentioned earlier, offensive tackle from the Kansas City Chiefs. And Anthony Spencer, defensive end, Dallas Cowboys, being franchised 2 years in a row. Monty Kiffin, changing it to 4-3 defense. Obviously wanted to keep those edge rushers on his roster. Anthony Spencer and DeMarcus Ware are going to be defensive ends in his new defense with the Dallas Cowboys. So those are your franchise players. Once again, for those of you all that can catch us on our OT portion tomorrow while you're sitting at lunch or you have a free moment, you can sit down and listen to our OT portion. OT portion is coming up right after this show, but unfortunately you can't hear it live. But you can listen to it tomorrow. We still have more draft coverage, more NFL coverage, more college basketball and NBA coverage that you all can tune to on tomorrow. Please give us some feedback if you like what we're talking about, don't like what we're talking about. Send us some feedback, Facebook and Twitter. And also join us next Tuesday as we'll be getting into some more college basketball, NBA, NFL draft. 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific. And for our good friends in Germany, that's Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. We would love to hear from you all once again. And join us on next Tuesday. Good night, people.
Good night, and we want to thank you for tuning in. We are getting ready to jump into the OT portion of the show. And as always, we have a good time listening to live portions. So we'll see you guys next week. Mr. Rob, you want to do some fantasy shout-outs real quick? Fantasy basketball shout-outs?
Fantasy basketball, Anthony Davis, the new number 23, is still in first place and dominating the league right now. Shout-out to him. Shout-out to Ronald. And we have about 6 weeks to go in the NBA season, so it's about what we have left in fantasy basketball as well. Shout-out to him.
Keep it going. All right, let's talk about some Final Four stuff, Rob. This is interesting because earlier this year, there's a lot of teams that I thought were going to make some hay, and obviously that's been totally kind of like shooken up, and that's not even the case anymore. Because obviously you look at Louisville at the time, they've been exposed. I'm sure people didn't see Miami coming from where they are. Shout out to Mr. Tad Arapoglu. I know he's going to call next week because he's going to represent the U. They're playing well. Michigan State, you know, playing lights out. Ohio State, Indiana, kind of flip-flopping. Gonzaga, there's a lot of teams that are trying to make their – there's not really a dominant team. And obviously, Kentucky, are they even going to make the big dance? So there's a lot of things going on, which is – I think it's very exciting. But there's some teams, do you think, number one, there's going to be number one team that's going to make it through the gauntlet? Or is it still kind of like it's just so much, you know, discrepancy going on through the season? Or, you know, hopefully one team is going to step up and kind of take that mantle as far as being the best team right now. So it's going to be a very exciting March Madness, sir. So I'm going to defer to you, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I still think that I just see a big one of these teams from the Big Ten is going to win a national championship. I just seem like that they're the most battle-tested. And they're playing the toughest competition. And I've said this before, is, you know, they're the toughest basketball conference, even though their football conference is boring, like watching paint dry. But they're dominating on the basketball conference right now. And I still like Indiana. I know they lost at home tonight to Ohio State. Victor Oladipo and, of course,
thank
Cody
you, sir.
Zeller. And I just like those two players, 1-2 punch. I still think they're the team to beat. And a tough loss tonight for them, but I think when it's all said and done, I still think they're the most well-rounded team. And my other three Final Four teams, I like Duke, I like Gonzaga, and I like Kansas. You look at it as a Gonzaga team, they got good point guard play with David Stockton, the son of John Stockton, of course. And they might have the best 4-5 combo in the league as well in their country. And then you look at Duke. As much as I hate them, you know, they got a big piece of their team back in Ryan Kelly this past weekend and went off with 36 points against Miami. And so they have a great 4-5 combo as well. Steph Curry, of course, and I'm sorry, not Steph Curry, but his younger, Steph Curry's younger brother is, you know, is handling the things at the guard position as well. So this is a team that I think will be a tough out come tournament time. In Kansas, you know, Kansas might have the best all-around player in the country, and Ben McLemore, who at this point, yeah, I know it's not time to talk about NBA draft, but my early draft prognosis is that he's going to be the number one pick in the draft. And then you have Jeff Lithey, the big man. So they have a great 1-2 punch as well. And so as of right now, these are the four teams that I like, and we'll have to wait and see how things shake out.
Who's going to be the number one pick in the draft? In the NBA draft, you said?
Ben McLemore, swingman from Kansas. Right now, I haven't been the number one pick. You know, like I say, I haven't officially released, but trust me, 12-man sports listeners, I'm already doing my homework. I'm ahead of the game. But as of right now, he's the number one pick in the NBA draft.
Well, is there a player currently that he reminds you of, or he's kind of similar to, that makes him the number one pick here?
Well, he reminds me of a young Ray Allen, to be honest with you. He's got a great form, a great setup jump shot. And you know, a lot of people remember when Ray Allen first came to the league. He was a pretty good athlete as well, you know, very good jump shooter. McLemore is about the same height, 6'5". He's the same kind of player. And, you know, and he kind of reminds me of a young Ray Allen. Of course, you know, Cody Zeller is going to be right up there, his top five pick. You look at Shabazz Muhammad, the guard forward from UCLA, swing player. He's going to be in the mix as well. And I tell you, a rising player in this year's draft, Otto Porter, guard forward from Georgetown, He's got a long wingspan. He needs to improve his jump shot a little bit. Great defender, great penetrator, great on the fast break. And, you know, this is a guy that's rising in the NBA draft circles right now. Otto Porter from Georgetown. Remember the name, people. Pay attention to him in the NCAA tournament.
Rob, this just in. Looks like Urban Meyer didn't like the way that you talked about the Big Ten and paint being dry. They're ready to set the record straight. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah. Do it on the field, Urban Meyer.
He's tired of you dogging the Big Ten football conference, Rob. He's ready to make amends. We'll see how that's a little side up there. I digress. But so, bottom line, I'm going to name my final four predictions. Let's throw out yours just to say, because like I said, it seems like it's I really don't know, but I agree with that. I think the team from the Big Ten is going to represent. Obviously, being from Indiana, I got to go with my guys. I think they're going to pull it out. Tom Crean's doing an amazing job. They've been battle-tested going back and forth. I definitely like Indiana. I like Michigan State. I like Miami. I also like Ohio State, too. I like Michigan, so it's kind of tough. So somewhere within there, I got to look at the brackets to figure out if they're all going to kind of play each other. But that's kind of what we're looking at as far as, you know, the Final Four has definitely changed because of just the craziness as far as the teams, you know.
Exactly. Yes, there's definitely going to be interesting. I think there's going to be an exciting NCAA tournament, too. It's going to be one of the best ones we've had in a while just because there are a lot of, you know, teams that are capable of winning this tournament. And there might be about 10 to 15 teams that are capable of winning six games to win this national championship. So I think we're in for an exciting NCAA tournament. I think it's going to be one of the better ones that we've had in a long time.
Let's recap this Indiana-Ohio State game. Obviously, Ohio State pulling off the upset. Amazing, amazing game. What do you think about this move? Is this just they're playing more inspired, or is Indiana just kind of losing their focus here, or what do you think about this?
Well, the Big Ten Conference has a lot of good teams this year, and, you know, it's going to be hard for, you know, definitely hard for a team to go through this conference unscratched this year. So I just think it was a tough night for Indiana. I still think they're the better team. This team plays Ohio State 10 times. I like Indiana to win at least 7. And that's just my take. I think Ohio State, Deshaun Thomas, you know, the best player. He's got double figures every game this season for them. And but I think come tournament time, I think it's going to hurt Ohio State is they don't really have a great number two scorer. So it's going to hurt them as far as going far. But I think, you know, tonight they just played well. Thad Matta did an incredible job with defensive schemes. But I think Indiana, from top to bottom, is a better team, and I think that'll help them in the long run.
You think Kentucky's going to make the big dance?
It's going to be tough. I mean, losing Nerland Knowles was a, you know, a blow to this ball club. When he first went down, I was asked this question, and I emphatically said, yes, they will still make it because they have a lot of talent. But I'm going to say no. I'm going to say my opinion has changed. They're struggling, and they're just missing his presence. And you might only see two teams from the SEC make this tournament, which would be mind-boggling. That's a team with 14 teams. And right now, only two teams that I can say for sure is going to be in the tournament is Florida and Missouri.
Wow. Right here first. Very, very interesting. Let's switch gears, sir, unless you want to talk about anything else. We've got about close to 6 minutes or so left. Let's talk real quick about the NBA, the Spurs, and it looks like Tony Parker had a high ankle sprain or something like that. Looks like he's going to be out for a little while. And the Spurs are quietly doing their thing, you know. They're just kind of plugging right along. And I'm going to ask a two-part question. Looking at what the Heat are doing right now, LeBron James is playing out of his mind. If you look at Oklahoma City, it looks like, you know, they made, you know, one or two moves. Do you think they have enough to kind of compete this year to join them to kind of get to the finals and also get over the hump? Because you added Kevin Martin. You're looking on the growth of a couple different players, of Serge Ibaka. So I guess two-part question on that. You know, number one, do we think that, obviously, what are your thoughts on the Spurs and Tony Parker, and also if the Oklahoma City did enough to get over the hump to compete against Miami? So I'm sorry about that. I was excited there.
Yeah, there's no problem. And the Spurs without Tony Parker, it's a huge blow, obviously. And I think OKC has a chance to catch them for that number one seed. But it's something about these Spurs, and Greg Popovich just does an incredible job. I mean, the first game without Tony Parker the other night, they still beat someone by 30-something points. And so this team's still going to win a lot of games. And I think they have a shot to hold on to this number one seed until Parker comes back. But here's the problem I think the Spurs are going to have. Parker's going to be out until maybe early April, late March. And it's going to take them a little while to get into game shape. And I think that can possibly hurt the Spurs come playoff time. You know, is he going to be back in game shape come playoff time? And I think that's where the question mark. And prior to Tony Parker getting hurt, I was starting to believe that I believe the Spurs could beat OKC this year. And I think the main reason for that is because OKC doesn't have James Harden anymore. And you can tell this OKC team is still very good, but you can tell they're not as good as last year, just my personal thoughts. So I'm going to say, as of now, with this Park injury, I still think OKC will win the West. Now, can they overcome Miami? Right now, I just think Miami's on the mission again. And the way they're playing, I think they're at 15 wins in a row right now. They're playing phenomenal basketball. And like I said, I do think OKC will still make it to the finals, but I think they dropped off just slightly with losing Harden. Even though Kevin Martin's a solid player, he doesn't have the explosion that James Harden has. So I'm going to say look for about the same results in the NBA Finals this year. Miami will win 4-1, 4-2, somewhere around that nature. But I still think the Heat is the better team and that they'll repeat as NBA champions.
Wow, interesting. What do you think about the moving right along here? The Spurs are doing their thing. What do you think about the Clippers? Are they still a viable challenger for the Thunder or what?
I don't think so. I just don't think they're there yet. And I think this team is still a little soft. And I don't think they're going to have the physicality. You know, come playoff time when the games become more half court, more physical, I think they'll make it to the second round of the playoffs. Probably will lose to OKC Thunder or the Spurs or someone like that. But I don't see them being a viable championship contender on this level. I just think they'd lack the physical presence.
The Knicks have kind of faded as well too. I don't know what's been going on with them. I mean, they kind of like get your hopes up, and they kind of looks like they're kind of hitting their proverbial wall. What do you think about their chances? You know, obviously, there's one team that's kind of the darling team, the Pacers, and also, you know, the Memphis, you know, they got rid of, you know, certain things that, you know, they made a couple trades to get rid of certain players, and you hope it didn't mess up their chemistry, too. So I'm curious about that. We got about 2 minutes, Rob, as it's like, you know, 11:43 as we get ready to wrap up this edition of Talking Sports with Spoke Man.
Yeah, real quick, I answer those questions. I don't think the Knicks are going to be I don't think the Knicks can get by the Pacers in the playoffs. I think the Pacers are clearly the second-best team in the East. I think they're the one team in the East that might can challenge Miami. As of right now, like I said, I still think Miami's the better team. But I think if any team will pull off the upset over Miami, it will be the Pacers. Next question, Memphis or Grizzlies. Memphis is actually still playing very well. And Tayshaun Prince has kind of fit right in, giving him something on defense. Not the scorer that Rudy Gay is, but he's picking it up on defense. And so I think there will still be a handful for some teams in the playoffs. I still think they can possibly make it to the second round, but they're going to be a tough out. But once again, people, join us next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 a.m. Wednesday morning in Germany. Anything you want to add on, Dre?
I just want to say we really appreciate that. Definitely follow us on Facebook, on Twitter. Rob does a great job of updating, you know, the post-draft, mock drafts, all that stuff, and a lot of good things on Facebook. You know, we keep a lot of information flowing, too, so we definitely want to get your feedback. That's what it's all about.
Good night, people. Once again, hit us up on Twitter, Facebook. Join us next Tuesday. Good night, people.
Good night, people. This is for you, Rob. I guess we'll end it with a little stand-up and get Krog, I think. I think that's good. That would be kind of end the show.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. Ah!
Oh. You like how it gets
good?
Give me a little something for bedtime. Here we go.